It's good to have you this morning. Open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. We are going to start a series on 1 Peter over the next few weeks. But here's our question this morning to get us going, all right? This is a doozy. Okay, here's our opening question. Do you ever feel like you don't belong? Okay, that doesn't actually have to be here, okay? Nobody's like, I don't know how I ended up here this morning. Okay, that could be at some other point in your life, maybe you don't feel like it now. That could be a job, that could be a school, or maybe that's just like, man, I don't belong on this planet. I don't know, maybe you feel like an oddball. But I suspect that everyone at one time has probably felt a little bit out of place, maybe a little bit like you don't belong. And so, remember the Cornerstone Connect number, 605-215-5150, an easy way to interact with us. You have a question about the message, just encourage you to use that. But this morning, like I said, we're going to start a series called 1 Peter. This was a letter that was written to believers. Okay, it was written by who? Good job. Good. See, you guys thought that was a trick question. Yeah, it was written by Peter, the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends. He was kind of part of the inner circle and one of Jesus' followers. But it was written in Rome. Peter, later in this letter, refers to Rome as Babylon, symbolically, okay? It was written in the early 60s A.D. And so the first few verses here, he tells us he's writing to followers of Jesus. I actually have a map here, a little geography this morning. I know you guys woke up, you're excited, you want a geography lesson. Okay, this is Asia Minor, all right, modern-day Turkey. This is who he was writing to. This was not a letter that was addressed to a particular church. A lot of Paul's writings, other epistles, letters are written to specific churches. And this was written as a general letter that would have been, it would have been given to different churches. They either would have made copies or they would have passed it along here in Asia Minor. And we're going to read it in just a minute, and you'll notice some of those names there, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, and Pontus. He mentions those by name. And so this was a letter for all the believers in this part of the world at time. Okay? And so the audience was primarily Gentile. Okay? There would have been some Jews that would have heard this, but it's primarily Gentile, non-Jewish believers who they were living in a very pagan, godless society. They're experiencing opposition and suffering. This part of the world was under the Roman rule, but it probably wasn't quite as bad as Rome got under Emperor Nero. So there's your history lesson for today, okay? So this is a letter. He's writing this letter to these believers that live in this part of the world at that time. But I would say even though American Christians are not currently being persecuted to the level of the believers that this letter was written to, I think there's some things that we can learn, that we can be encouraged by, okay? But I think you would agree that our society is moving away from God, moving away from godly and biblical morality. So I think there's some things that we can identify in this book. And so popular culture is pretty much godless and pagan at this point, but that doesn't mean that all of America is, okay? That's just what we see most likely to be shown, TVs, movies, whatever it is. Popular culture promotes this type of society. So, listen, whether violent persecution comes to the church in America or not, I don't know, okay? That's not the point. But I believe there are some things that we can learn and be encouraged by, because this is really Peter's point here of this letter. He wants to encourage these people. He wants to encourage these believers in their faith. And so, I hope this will be an encouragement to you this morning. So, let's just pray for the message this morning. While I'm praying for you, please pray for me, whether you're here, whether you're watching online. Just pray that I'll deliver the message as the Lord wants me to, because I believe that we'll be encouraged this morning. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. This is your day. I don't believe that anyone is here or is listening or watching by accident. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would move upon our hearts this morning to receive what you want us to receive from your word. Your word is anointed. But God, I pray that you would just open our hearts and ears and minds, Lord, that you would be able to do the work that you need to do in us. And so, Lord, I just pray that your word would encourage us this morning and just help me to say the very things that you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, anyway, 1 Peter, we get into 1 Peter, and we're just really going to kind of be covering the introduction today, and it's going to set up the rest of the series. So open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read the first few verses. Like I said, Peter, the Apostle Peter, is writing to people that have been oppressed because of their faith. Okay, and he wants to remind them in this introduction, and some of it is a way to set up the rest of what he's going to teach, but he wants to remind them of three critical things. And the first thing he wants to remind them is that they live, number one, in a temporary home. Okay? They live in a temporary home. Let's look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read the first two verses. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. So this is really the introduction, okay? Peter identifies himself, he identifies who he's writing to, but what I want you to see here is what he calls his audience, what he calls those that would read or hear this. Okay, depending on the version that you're reading, here it calls them exiles, okay? These people that have been exiles. Different version might say strangers. Some will say temporary residents, all right? And this language that Peter is using, it speaks more to a mindset and a perspective that the believers were to have more than some sort of forced. Everybody say first. I just want you to sound as silly as I did. Thank you. This speaks more to a mindset and a perspective that he wanted them to have instead of a forced scattering or a forced dispersion, if you want to call it that, although that might have been the case with some of them. Okay, it's very possible that even some of these people were there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, and then they went back to their home, to their homelands. But this is really the emphasis on this type of language that Peter uses, is they were to see themselves belonging to a different country. They were to see themselves as just visitors. They were to see themselves as other than permanent residents, because they're living in a temporary home. The next chapter, he uses the same language as he begins to teach about something else, but I want you to see in verse 11 of chapter 2 what he calls them. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles." And we're going to get to the rest of that in a couple of weeks. He reinforces this concept of being foreigners, of being exiles, of being strangers, of just kind of being here for a limited amount of time. And so he's using this imagery, this language, as he's beginning to instruct them, as he's beginning to set up what he's going to teach in the rest of his letter. And we're going to get into more of that next couple of weeks of, listen, because you're strangers, because you're exiles, this is how you need to live. But here at the beginning of the letter, he's encouraging them in their faith. And that's very typical for epistles or letters. If you've read any of those, you'll see kind of a pattern as they introduce themselves. There's an encouraging word before they really get to the meat of their teaching. And so, I want you to think about this morning. How might knowing the fact that this isn't all there is, that this isn't our forever home, how might that encourage you? Think about that for a minute. How might that encourage those that were reading this? Okay? Listen, we were made for more than what we see. Okay? We were made to live in unity with God and His creation. And if you're familiar with the creation story in Genesis, listen, you know this. You know that because of man's rebellion, we're not in unity with creation. And unless we've chosen to follow Jesus, you're not in unity with God. Man's rebellion corrupted everything. Now, I've told you this before. Some of you need to write this down, put it on your fridge, okay? This is not even in my notes. But we mistakenly judge God by what we see now instead of what He intended at the beginning and where He's going to lead us to at the end. Okay, He didn't create the world like we see it now. And many people judge God and make judgments about Him and His character by looking at it now. When man is the one, because of man's rebellion, he's the one that has corrupted creation. He's the one that's corrupted it. Okay? And so, we look at what God has intended at creation. We look at what He's leading us to at the end. Then we'll have a better picture of who God is and what He intended for mankind. All right? And so, God's people, us, if you're a follower of Jesus, we live in the now. But we would also have an eye on the future. Okay? And so it's this tension that we feel of living in the here and now, but we keep an eye on the future. But it's so easy, wouldn't you agree? It's so easy to get so obsessed by the here and now, whether it's challenges we face. God, there could even be good things coming that we're excited about. You know, as a kid, you get all excited about Christmas. I mean, Caleb starts getting excited about Christmas about 3 months before. Okay, that's like, we can't wait to get there. Okay? So it's easy to do that. Whether good or bad, it's easy to get distracted by this world and forget that we are not permanent residents here. But we do live in the now, but we have an eye on the future, because this is a temporary home. And the writer of Hebrews, as he's recounting great heroes of the faith, he describes God's people this way. And many of you are familiar with this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. But I want to read verse 13 here in the middle of the chapter. After he lists all these people that live by faith, the writer of Hebrews says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Yeah, it is hard to remember that. It is hard to live that way. Listen, there's not many nomadic people left on the earth. There's definitely, I'm not going to say there's not any in the U.S., but that was a much more of a common thing, even in the period of when the Scripture was written, especially in the Old Testament when they were describing these heroes of the faith. So it's a little bit easier to picture that. Even if you weren't a nomad, maybe you knew somebody and living as strangers and exiles and moving from place to place. That is not something, unless you know a full-time RVer, I know there are some, okay? We had a neighbor for a while that was, you know, maybe that type of lifestyle. It's easier to picture what we're talking about here. But Peter describes people as exiles and strangers. The writer of Hebrews does as well. And as followers of Jesus, this is our temporary home, and it's easy to forget that sometimes. But here in Hebrews, I like what it says. It says, they saw these things from a distance. It said, the promises were not fulfilled. That doesn't mean that God broke His promises to them. That just means there's promises yet to be fulfilled. Okay? Promises yet to be fulfilled, because this is our temporary home. That means not all of God's promises are going to be fulfilled here and now. All right? So, as Peter's beginning his letter, he's reminding them really of their place in society, of their place in the world. Like, listen, this isn't all there is. All right? And then he goes on to tell them this is not just a temporary home, but he reminds them, and Hebrews alluded to it, he reminds them of what is waiting for them. He reminds them of a coming inheritance. So, number two, let's look at this. A coming inheritance. In verse 3, Peter continues to write. He says, praise be to God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And so Peter, as he's looking ahead, listen, he says, we've got new birth. We've been birthed into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And there's an inheritance that we're going to receive. There's something that's still coming. It says it can never perish, spoil, or fade. And so, in speaking of this new life in Christ, listen, we are born again into a living hope. And most of you are familiar with that language, that born again language, this new life. Jesus even said, listen, you got to be born again. Listen, our faith is not a dead faith. Our hope is not a dead hope, because Jesus Christ is not dead. Because Jesus Christ is living, our faith is living. And so as we look at this, we look at Peter encouraging his readers by saying, listen, this is not all there is. This is temporary. And he says, listen, there's more coming. There's this inheritance coming. So when we speak of inheritance, what do we often think of? Anyone? Come on, this is the easiest question I'm going to ask you all day. What'd you say? Money. We think of money, right? Yeah, well, that's not what Peter is talking about. I think you've seen that from the verses. And so we don't use inheritance language a lot in our culture outside of really somebody dying, and whether it's money or property or whatever it is, being left to someone else. But here Peter uses this language of an inheritance. There's an inheritance that we receive. Let's look how the Apostle Paul describes it this way, okay? As he's speaking about our new life in Christ in Romans chapter 8. Look at verses 15 to 17. He says, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. All right? Ladies, I don't know if daughtership is the right word, but that would include you as well. All right? The Spirit you received brought about your adoption. And it says, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Now look what he's saying. This is a powerful thing. He says, when we follow Jesus, when we give him our lives and we are born again, we are adopted into the family of God. And we have the same inheritance that Jesus does. Have you guys ever thought about that? Have you read this verse and thought about it? It says, we are co-heirs with Jesus. Listen, he is the Son of God. That doesn't mean we're the Son of God, but as a son, we inherit eternal life through him and because of him, and we are raised to heaven just like he was. That's what this speaks to. This speaks to the coming inheritance, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and he ascended. There is a resurrection that we are waiting on also. Okay, whether we die and we're resurrected later or Jesus comes before we die, there's an inheritance that we are waiting on. All right? And Peter is reminding his people of this fact. Okay? Because it's hard to remember that. I mean, it is hard to remember that sometimes, maybe, especially when life goes sideways. You guys ever had life go sideways on you? God bless you with your gift of nodding and eye rolling. I recognize those expressions. Yes, we've all experienced that from time to time. Something happened that we didn't expect. Could have been our sin, could have been somebody else's sin, or it could have just been life happening. Okay? Whatever the cause, we've experienced that. And Peter's telling those under oppression, under persecution, listen, we've got to remember this isn't all there is. That you've got a future home, you've got a future inheritance that you're waiting on. Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes about this as well. He says, in verse 13 to 14, he says, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Think about that for a minute. It says, when you believed, you were marked. And the thing that guarantees your future in heaven is the Spirit of God within you that he gave you when you were born again. You ever thought about that? He calls that a deposit. We understand what a deposit is. Usually in our world, it's a little bit of money. That means I'm going to give you the rest of the money later. So when we are born again, God gives us his Spirit. That's a deposit. That's a guarantee. And it's hard to wrap our minds around because it's not like we got a little bit of part of God and he's missing it. No, God is everywhere. Can't explain by science how that happens, but he says, I've given you my Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come, guaranteeing your future inheritance. So this deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So he's talking about the end of times. He's talking about when all the promises will be fulfilled. Because an inheritance is coming for those that identify with Jesus, those that have followed Jesus, those who God has already given his Spirit. And we kind of talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about being spiritual beings. And Jesus said, those that worship me in spirit and truth. And depending how you grew up, that kind of language can make us uncomfortable sometimes, but we are spiritual people, whether we realize it or not. The Apostle Paul is using spiritual language here. So this inheritance, not about money, it's about a place in God's family. It's about eternity in the presence of the Lord as his sons and daughters, as adopted kids. And so place yourself in the shoes or the sandals of those hearing this, reading this. All right? That's got to be encouraging, and I hope that's encouraging to you today. Listen, whether you're upset about what's happening in your life or what's happening here in town or the nation, listen, or even if all things are good for you, this still should be an encouragement to you. Even if life is great, it's only going to get better. Even if your life is relatively perfect right now, there's still more to come that's even more than you can possibly imagine. A life eternity with God. If we are adopted sons and daughters. And so as he's writing, he's saying, listen, do you feel like an outsider? Okay? You feel like an exile, a stranger. Good, because you should feel like an exile. You should feel like a stranger. But it's not because you don't have hope. It's just that you truly don't belong here. This is kind of a pit stop on the way to eternity, all right? You have an inheritance that others don't have. You have a hope that is a living hope. You have an eternal inheritance, right? That is something, as followers of Jesus, we have that others do not have. That doesn't make us better. That makes us fortunate that we've heard about Jesus and we've responded to Him, okay? And that should also motivate us to share that with others. And so while they would have to wait on their inheritance, these that Peter is talking to, he also speaks of what they have now. Okay? He's made the point, right, that they live in a temporary home, that while they're living in that home, they're looking ahead to what has come. But like, listen, so the logical question might be like, what do we have now? He's already said that we have a living hope, but this is what he had. This is what we have as believers. This is what they had. I want you to see this. Okay? They have a sustaining joy. Right? Number three, a sustaining joy. Verse 6 in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, "In all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, that your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And so Peter reminded him that they're really not of this world anymore and what they would receive. But here he speaks about knowing all of this, what that should do for us, what that should do to us, that we have a joy that is not based upon circumstances of this world, but it's based upon who we are in Christ. It's based upon the fact that we are sons and daughters adopted into God's family. And we even see language here of as suffering, improving the genuineness of our faith, that speaks almost a little bit to when we were in a series in James, talking about considerate joy when you suffer trials and persecutions. You guys remember that? Because it develops something within us. And so Peter, he acknowledges their hardships. This is not a denial of their circumstances. He acknowledges it. He acknowledges that hardships reveal genuine faith, or they reveal a lack of faith. Okay? But in all these things, Peter says that they are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, because they are receiving the salvation of your souls. And that's the interesting tension here. As we live in the now and the not yet, as believers, this is not our home, but we live here. Jesus said, "You're in the world, but not of the world." He prayed that for His followers, right? They're in the world, they're not of it. Okay? And that should be our position, but it's very hard to live that way. Listen, I admit that. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the world, but we live differently than the world does. Why? Because we are adopted sons and daughters of God, and we should be like Him, and not like the world around us, okay? But there is this sustaining joy that Peter describes here. This joy that we can be full of. Even when circumstances are tough, even in the midst of oppression, even in the midst of persecution, there's a joy. Why? Because we know that we are His, all right? Because we know something else is coming. And this is not, don't misunderstand, this is not an escapism, okay? Because we live in the now as we look forward. This is not escaping and only, okay, thinking about the future. Jesus didn't pray that for His disciples. Just remember that in the Gospel of John. They're in the world, not of the world. He prayed that they would be protected. But He also gave them a mission to do. So this isn't thinking about the future and not doing anything now. This is living here and now, fulfilling the mission of God, but never forgetting the inheritance that is waiting for us, because that should encourage us daily. And if we get disconnected from God's Word, if we get disconnected from God's people, guys, it is easy to forget that. Okay? You're not saved because you come to church, but you want to know why it's important to be here? Because you get disconnected from God's people, you get disconnected from His family, you don't read your Bible, you get disconnected from the Word. It is easy to remember that we're made for more than this. And again, it's not because we're better, it's just because we've responded to Jesus. So even in the midst of suffering, there can be joy. Romans chapter 15, this has become one of my favorite verses the last few years. Paul writes, he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Listen, our joy comes from the Lord. Our joy comes from knowing that we are His. And we may never experience persecution like a lot of the people that the writers of the New Testament, their hearers, their readers, a lot of them were experiencing this. We may not experience it. We might. But even if we experience a little difficulty or hardships for following Jesus, we're going to identify more with Scripture than ever before. Okay? So I hope you're investing Scripture into you. I hope you are feeding your soul God's Word. Because as I'm talking, I'm sure some of you are saying, you know what, I don't have a sustaining joy. Okay, so I encourage you, invest into the presence of God. Invest into the family of God. Invest into the Word of God. All right? That will help you maintain your perspective. That will help you maintain this, this now and not yet living that we're called to do as believers. This is not our home. Okay? God has something better planned for us. He did in the beginning, but man's rebellion messed it up. And you know what? If we were there, we probably would have too. It'd be prideful to think that we would have done any better than Adam and Eve. But God can give us joy in the midst of difficulty. And so, listen, whether you're in the midst of difficulty or not, listen, I want to encourage you with these words, okay? We live in a temporary home. There's an inheritance that is coming for you. But there's a joy that can sustain you even in the most difficult of times. But that joy comes from the Lord. It's not something we can work up. That comes from the Spirit of God. And so listen, I asked you earlier if you felt like you didn't belong. Okay? Maybe you're not feeling that way now, but maybe you have at one point. But listen, as a believer, the simple answer is you don't belong here. There are plenty of things to like about the world and love about it because God created it. And even in its messed up, corrupted state, man, we can see God's beauty. We can see His handiwork. Okay, we can see the divine order that's set up. This is not a cosmic accident. All right? And we can see that. We get glimpses of His handiwork. And it's hard to imagine that it would have only been better. It's hard to imagine that. But as a believer, this is not our home. And listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus, the message to you is this: you were made for more than you're experiencing. And maybe if you've sat alone at night, maybe in your room going, you know what? There's got to be more than this. And I'm going to tell you, listen, it was supposed to be more than this. It was supposed to be God's people walking with Him every day in an unspoiled creation. That was His intent. And the whole story of the Bible is God's moving in and among men and women, using different people at different times, culminating in the story of Jesus to begin the process of redemption. And when Jesus took the penalty of our sin for us, man, that began the clock. Now men and women can come to Him and have right relationship with God. We can be reconciled to God. And at some time, God is going to restore and redeem creation. Okay? And that's what the end of the book is about. He's going to restore it. He's going to redeem it. And He's going to rule over it. And it's going to be a world that He intends where sin is not going to corrupt. And so, listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus, there is more. And if you are, listen, we do live in here now. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's very hard to live in now, keep an eye on the future. But that helps us maintain an eternal perspective about everything we do. Listen, every decision we make, are we thinking about how it impacts eternity? An eternal perspective helps us maintain our focus. It helps shift our priorities, helps us sharpen our behavior. But again, it's not an excuse to check out. So I'm not talking about checking out. You guys understand that? Nod or wave at me or something. Help. Let me know you're there. Yeah, so I'm not talking checking out. We're not all just going to sit around, smoke weed now that it's legal in South Dakota, and just think about the future, okay? Now I got your attention. Okay? That's what we're talking about. We're engaged in this world. God gave us a mission, and we still have to fulfill it. We just have the luxury of knowing this isn't God's best. He's got more for us, and it's coming. It's an inheritance that we share with Jesus, and His Spirit is in us, and that's the guarantee that there's more. And if you don't have His Spirit in you, if you're not born again, and you don't have that guarantee, listen, it is simple. I'm going to ask Jamie to come up and play. We're going to close in communion in just a minute. But listen, there is more than what we see here, okay? There is more. And so I encourage you, I'm going to ask you guys just to bow your heads right now. And I'm going to pray for you in a minute, and then we're going to move into a time of worshiping the Lord with communion. Listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus, my message to you is simple. You were created for more than you're currently experiencing. And it is not... Following Jesus is not just some quick solution to feel better about your life. That's not what it is. It is a surrendering of every part of your life to Him. But God says, if you will do that, I will forgive you of your sin. I will forgive your rebellion. I will even give you my Spirit to live in you. And that is a guarantee that you're going to receive an inheritance someday. That is a guarantee that you're going to spend eternity with me. And Scripture's clear, if you come to Him in humility and ask Him to forgive you, and you place your trust and hope in Him in the death and resurrection of Jesus, He promises that you will be a new creation. All right? And if you are a follower of Jesus, my encouragement to you is just, listen, if you're going through a tough time, God says this is not all there is. But I encourage you, lean into Him. And my prayer is the same prayer the writer of Romans says, that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that God says He will send as a deposit will give you hope regardless of your circumstance. And so I want to pray that for you this morning. Listen, if you're not a follower, I just encourage you, if you need to respond this morning while I pray, do that. Even if you're watching online, fill out a Connect card. I'd love to talk with you, or just pray right where you're at. But some of you need hope this morning. Those of you that would say, you know what, I am a son or daughter of the King, but I need hope this morning. That hope comes from God. You've got to lean into Him. Okay? And so I'm going to pray that for you this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for Your Word that challenges us, that God hopefully encourages us, and God, the dynamic of the here and now, Lord, living as Your sons and daughters while remembering that there, God, we've got a lot of life left to live. There's an inheritance that we're going to receive, an inheritance of eternal life. And even though we are already a part of Your family, there's more yet to experience, and I thank You for that. And I pray for those this morning that maybe need peace, those that are following You, those that are serving You, those that are struggling with peace, I pray that, Holy Spirit, You would speak to their spirits right now. That You would speak to them, God, in the midst of the doubt or the fear or the confusion, that You would speak to them and bring them peace. And Lord, I pray also, Lord, if they need to adjust or realign any part of their life or their priorities, that You would just speak that to them. Lord, that they would be investing in Your Word. They'd be investing in Your family, Lord, so that You would have the opportunity to mold them and shape them, the opportunity for Your joy to be unleashed in their life. God, do that right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, if somebody that can hear me is not in right relationship with You, I pray that You would speak to them right now in their rebellion. God, they would know that You are not mad at them, but God, You love them and You long for them to be a part of Your family. Because God, You proved Your love by sending Jesus. God, while we were all in rebellion, the greatest act of love that was ever shown, and I pray that You would draw that person right now or that they would know that you're moving upon their heart and they would simply surrender their life to you right now. In Jesus' name. So Lord, help us to be people of hope and joy. God, help us to be people with our eyes, our focus upon the right things, Lord. May your word that is in us come alive, Lord, and keep us encouraged in our spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.